Many Bible greats committed sin. Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. Noah, that man who built an ark out of his deep faith in the Almighty God, got drunk. Lot's daughters got their father drunk and committed incest with him in order to bear him children. Wow. Jacob deceived his father Isaac. And in that deception, he received the blessing that should have gone to Esau. Moses struck the rock twice instead of speaking to the rock as God commanded. David committed adultery, murder, and did everything he could possibly do to hide his sins. Peter, one of the apostles of Jesus, denied the Lord three times on the night of his arrest and his trials before Pontius Pilate. Yes, men of God have, will, and even now are committing sin. Fortunately, God offers forgiveness to those individuals who will repent, to those individuals who will truly seek His mercy. In my mind, David seems to be one of the greatest offenders, doesn't he? Adultery and murder to cover up your sin. When Nathan confronted David, David confessed that sin, didn't he? I have sinned against the Lord. And listen to what Nathan says. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Here David has committed at least two horrible acts, two terrible acts of sin. And yet the very moment he confesses those to the prophet. The prophet immediately responds and tells him, the Lord has put your sin away. And he will not even carry out the sentence of execution against you. Wow. One would think that the forgiveness of God would be one of the greatest blessings that an individual could receive. I've sinned against Him. I violated His will, and yet God is willing to forgive me. We ought to rejoice in that forgiveness, have we not? David said in Psalm 32, verse 2, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. That little word blessed means what? Happy. Happy is the man. Just think about that. I have a dark spot on my soul. My soul has been stained by sin, and yet God is willing to cleanse that, wash that, and remove that totally and completely from my life. When He looks at me, He no longer sees the transgression. What a wonderful blessing. But note this. There is a small group of people, however, that for some reason they cannot rejoice in the forgiveness of God. Blows my mind, doesn't it you? I don't know about you. I'm glad that God forgives me. I'm glad that avenue is there. I'm glad when I can be pardoned of my transgressions. I don't have to worry about that anymore. It's not a burden to me anymore. But there's a handful of people that just can't rejoice in the forgiveness of God. And the reason they can't is because they do not have the ability to forgive themselves. And you see that from time to time. They constantly regret the sins that they've committed. They constantly belittle themselves. They constantly tell themselves, there is absolutely no way that God could forgive me. These individuals act as if they no longer have joy and happiness in their life. I'm a bad person. I'm a terrible person. We go to them and we try to tell them, look, God is a wonderful God. He's a loving God. He cares about you. He's forgiven you of your sins. And what do they say? There's just no way that God could forgive me. The title of our lesson is Forgiving Oneself. We've got 3 points in this lesson, and the first point is this: the purpose. When Kathleen and I worked at the children's home, we had to do some training as far as dealing with those children. And one of the points that was always made to us is this: every behavior, underline that little word, every behavior has a purpose. Isn't that something? It doesn't matter what it is, how little it is, how great it is, every behavior has a purpose. So we ask the question, what is the purpose of an individual being unwilling of forgiving himself of his transgressions? And the reasons are probably many. How about this one? He can't forgive himself because he loves the attention. Isn't that true? God won't forgive me. I'm such a bad person. There's no way that God would forgive me. And guess what everybody does? They rush to that individual. Oh yes, God loves you. He appreciates you. You're a wonderful person. And He loves the attention. So as long as I can wallow in my sins, people give me attention. How about this next one? He really doesn't want to devote himself to the service of God. As long as I'm bad, as long as I'm evil, as long as I can't be forgiven by God, then guess what? I don't have to do anything for God. That's a convenient excuse, isn't it? Or this one: to punish himself for his sins. I'm so bad, I'm so terrible, that I just have to continue to whip myself and tell myself what a rotten person I am to gain acceptance from those he has hurt. I want those individuals to know how badly I feel for what I've done against them. And so I just continue to let them know that I know I'm a horrible person, and maybe, just maybe, they'll realize that I'm truly penitent of what I've done. Sometimes individuals do it to alienate others from themselves, don't they? You go talk to an individual and you tell him, no, you're a good person. God has forgiven you. God's blood has washed your sins away. And he rejects it, and he rejects it, and he rejects it. You know what I'm finally going to do? I'm going to reject him, aren't you? No need talking to that guy anymore. And maybe that's exactly what he wants. Keep people away from him. Another reason is for this individual wants to believe that he is a worthless person. Maybe he's been taught that all his life. You're terrible. You're unfit. You don't deserve good. And now that he knows he's a sinner, he just continues to believe, I'm a worthless individual. Maybe it's this: to justify bad behaviors in the future. I've done sins in the past. There's no way God can forgive me. I continue to sin. See how bad I am. But then I can just keep doing what? Keep sinning against God. There are times when an individual is so consumed by his sins and with this idea that he can never be forgiven. And folks, that man, that woman needs a professional counselor in his life in order to deal with the situation. It's hard to believe, is it not? And yet those individuals exist in our society. Point number two. If an individual were to come to me as a preacher and were to say, you know, there's no way God could forgive me, There are at least 5 points that I would talk to that man about. And the first one is this. Is your refusal to forgive yourself part of the will of God for your life? He needs to think about that, doesn't he? If a person is a Christian, he needs to seriously consider that question. Because as a Christian, the one thing that I want to do is make certain that I am abiding by the will of God in my life. Does God really want you telling yourself that you can never be forgiven of sins? Is that His will for your life? This is what Peter says in 1 Peter 4:2, talking about justification through the sacrifice and suffering of Jesus. He says this, that he, the Christian, should no longer live the rest of his time. That means from this point onward, from the day I become a Christian until the day I die, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to what? But to the will of God. First thing a person needs to ask himself is, does God want me wallowing in my sins? Does God want me feeling sorry for myself because I've transgressed the will of God? Does God really want me punishing myself and never forgiving myself of sin? Folks, it is not God's will for a person to continually suffer for his sins. Isn't that what we learned a while ago? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. When God forgives you, what does He want you to do? He wants you to rejoice. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be thankful and grateful for what He's done in your life. It is not God's will for you to keep harboring sin against yourself. Point number two. Are we supposed to do something that is the very opposite of God's will for our life? Under the new covenant, there's forgiveness, is there not? The inspired writer writes about the new covenant beginning in Hebrews 8, verse 6. And he tells some of the points about that covenant. And in verse 12, he says this, "For I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember what? No more." So here God is saying, I don't even remember these things, and all you do is remember them every day. You stand in absolute opposition to the Almighty God, don't you? God forgives you, but you won't forgive yourself. That's unbelievable, isn't it? If God forgives us, folks, underline that word, we must forgive ourselves. It's an absolute must. And God does forgive us, doesn't He? And the reason I have to forgive myself is because the reality is this. When God forgives me, He totally, completely removes that sin from my record. He never sees it. It's gone. Totally washed away. David describes the forgiveness of God in Psalm 51. He asks for it. And in asking for it, he describes it. Notice what he says. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to a multitude of thy mercies, do what? Blot out my transgressions. That's what God does. He has mercy. He forgives. He blots out, doesn't He? Look at that next verse, verse 9. He says this, hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Folks, if God doesn't see my sin, when I'm forgiven, why do I want to stay focused on it? They aren't there. They're gone. Point number three. If a person does not forgive himself, he makes the blood of Jesus Christ of none effect in his life. Isn't that true? Jesus died to forgive us of our sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1 verse 7, the Bible says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Who really wants to play games with the blood of Jesus? Not me either. Who wants to challenge the power of the blood of Christ? Who wants to admit that they will not allow the blood of Jesus to forgive their iniquities? That's a pretty arrogant individual, is it not? Number four, those who will not forgive themselves cheapen the grace of the Almighty God. Folks, the grace of God is God's divine assistance, God's divine help for our lives. The very moment you and I transgress the will of God, we cannot forgive ourselves. There is nothing good that we can do to bring forgiveness. There is not enough money you can raise to bring forgiveness. We stand in need of what? Divine help to be forgiven. And that's where God's grace comes in. Without God's grace, there's absolutely no forgiveness of sins whatsoever. But God has extended His grace to man, has He not? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God has intervened in the affairs of men in order for us to be saved from our iniquities. What a wonderful thought that is, isn't it? So God's grace can save David, an adulterer and a murderer, but it can't help you. Who would think like that? So God's grace can save a man like Saul of Tarsus, who persecuted the church of God, attempted to rid the earth of the church, who totally despised Jesus Christ, the Son of God, at one point in his life. The grace of God can forgive a man like that, but you don't think you can be forgiven of transgressions and iniquities? It's unbelievable. Who sincerely believes that he is worthy enough to cheapen the grace of God? That's exactly what a person does when he will not forgive himself. What about this one? Those who will not forgive themselves do not appreciate the love of God, do they? There's many verses that talk about the love of God. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The very reason I can be forgiven is because God loves me immensely, does He not? But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath quickened us together in Christ. By grace are we saved. I don't know that I could ever possess that kind of love, do you? And yet God did. God loved me so much that I don't want you in sin, He says. I'm going to give you a way of escape. I'm going to give you a way that you can be totally forgiven of any iniquity committed in your life. I just don't believe He could forgive me. You are disparaging the love of God, folks. Who wants to reject the wonderful love of Christ from his life? And that's exactly what they do. I don't know about you, if I've got an individual in my office talking to me, telling me that he can't ever be forgiven of sins, and he cannot be reasoned with by one of these 5 points, there is something wrong. I'm recommending counseling. Or there's other places he might need to go. That was a joke. Now, poor things. This person needs to remember point number three, a purposeful life. Folks, after sin, there can be a new life. Can't there? Paul writes to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1, beginning verse 9 and verse 10, and he gives a list of sins in which these individuals had been involved. Fornication, adultery, homosexuality, pedophilia, drunkenness, thefts. I don't know about you, that's some nasty people, weren't they? But he didn't stop in verse 10. He says, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. That's how you used to be. Yes, you were sinners. Yes, you were horrible people. Yes, you were immoral. But that's the way you used to be. Now you're what? Now you're washed. Now you're sanctified. Now you're cleansed and justified by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There is a new life after sin. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature, isn't he? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You die to that old way of living. You bury that man in the waters of baptism. You come up out of those waters. You are not the same person you used to be. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All that old stuff, all that bad stuff, all those sins, that's all gone. I'm a new person in Christ. Man. Just look at this next statement. A person forgiven by God has put off the old man of sin, right? He's put that man of sin to death. And he's become a new man in Christ. But I want you to think about this. Here's a person who's been forgiven of sin, supposedly a new man. He won't forgive himself, so he continues to act like he's what? Like an old man of sin. That's a contradiction, isn't it? Something wrong with you. After sin, a person can be used by God, can he? Paul sinned greatly in the past. And here's something that's interesting. Paul never forgot his sins. We're not telling you to do that. Not to forget your sins. Paul never forgot his, did he? He said, I am the least of the apostles. And it's because of his old way of life. On another occasion, he says this, I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious to the cause of Christ. He remembered his sins. On another occasion, he referred to himself as the chief of sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. Paul never forgot his sins. But guess what? He didn't wallow in his sins. Did he? Do you ever see a verse in Scripture where Paul says, ooh, I was so bad because I was there at the stoning of Stephen, because I was arresting Christians, killing Christians, putting them in, I'm so bad, God will never forgive me, boo-hoo. You never see Paul doing that. Folks, the grace of God motivated him to do wonderful things for the cause of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:10. For by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now note this next statement. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not bestowed upon me in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Paul didn't wallow in his sins. Paul reveled in the grace of the Almighty God. Folks, I bet you if we had been companions of Paul, we couldn't have kept up with him. You know it? Paul, slow down. Paul, you need to rest a little bit. Paul, you need to take a day off. Paul, you're killing me. That's what we would have been saying. Paul says, oh no. I've been saved by the grace of God, and I've got tons to do for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he did, didn't he? Folks, he saved souls. He established churches. He edified his brethren. He did the work of a preacher and an apostle. He wrote almost half of the New Testament, didn't he? He made himself an example to others. He trained other men like Timothy and Titus so that they could carry on the work after him. And he was even willing to give himself to be a martyr for the cause of Christ. What a life. Paul didn't act like I haven't been forgiven. Paul acted like a man who believed in the grace of God, and it motivated him to do wonderful things in God's service. Notice this next point. My wicked past can oftentimes give me knowledge and experience to help others. Can it? Paul's a good example of that again. In Romans chapter 10, verse 2, Paul talks about the zeal of the Jews. Those individuals were zealous, he said, of the law of Moses. Did Paul understand that? Oh, yes. He understood it well. In fact, he wrote about it in Galatians 1, verse 14. And profited in the Jews' religion above many of mine equals. In mine own nation. Why did he profit more than others? He tells us, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of the fathers. I know what it's like to be zealous for the law. I know what it's like not to believe in Jesus. I know what it's like to hate the church of Christ. I know what it's like. I used to be there, he said. You think a man like that could help other Jews? Oh, yes. Folks, Paul could speak to that fire. Paul could speak to that fervency. And he could tell him, I used to be exactly where you used to be. And he could move them out of their error into the light of Jesus Christ, couldn't he? And hasn't that happened to others? There's been many an addict who after his recovery assisted addicts. There's been many criminals who, after they've gotten out of jail, they have been involved in a jail ministry. I know what it's like. I can take my experiences, I can take my knowledge, and I can help those individuals. Those who forgive themselves can find others who are having trouble forgiving themselves and help them move out of that kind of thinking, can't they? Two or three thoughts. What if everyone who ever committed a sin couldn't forgive themselves? Wouldn't that be awful? That'd be just terrible. I'd have a room full of folks in here. God just can't forgive me. We might as well go home. Hadn't we? Folks, if you're not forgiven, then guess what? You've got absolutely no hope. The only thing you have to look forward to is a condemnation in a devil's hell. If I can never be forgiven, all I have to look forward to is hell in the hereafter. That's crazy, isn't it? Two verses. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might what? Might be saved. Folks, the very reason Jesus came is to save humanity, not to destroy us. The Bible tells us, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, Now listen to this. Who will have all men to what? Be saved. And to come to a knowledge of His will. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. A ransom for who? A ransom for all. The price has been paid. There's no need for me and you to punish ourselves for our sins. All we need to do is accept the forgiveness of the Almighty God, isn't it? Now what's interesting about the forgiveness of God is this. He doesn't just bestow it freely upon everybody. It's available to everyone. And He's not going to force it upon you. He says you have to make that decision. And therefore He laid down conditions for that forgiveness. And the steps are simple, aren't they? Hear the precious Word of God. Let that Word produce faith in His Son Jesus Christ. Repent of sins, confess His name, and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, verse 16. Dear Christian, we'll sin after we become Christians. And guess what? It's not blanket forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is no sneaking back into the favor of God. We boldly, courageously stand forth and say, I have sinned and need His forgiveness. And the moment we do, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our iniquities. Is there someone here who needs to obey the gospel? Someone here who needs to repent of sins? Ask God for forgiveness. Won't you come as we stand and sing?